Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Peter, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too.
How are you doing, man? It's a Friday.
It's a beautiful Friday. I hope you're enjoying it.
Oh, yeah. I'm definitely enjoying it, man. You know,
I'm hearing from the music.
Yeah, each moment that passes, I'm thinking, the Sabbath is almost here. The Sabbath is almost here. Oh, my goodness. The sun is going to go down. Oh, my goodness. There we go. We're on the Sabbath. I can't wait for it. I definitely cannot wait for it.
I feel you, man. I feel you.
Yeah. We're concluding this talk about overcoming anxiety, and we're taking Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. That will be our anchor verse today as we conclude our lesson together with the pastor on overcoming anxiety with faith. Now, Pastor, what role do prayer and thanksgiving play in easing anxiety?
So you remember that we defined anxiety as a anticipation of some future danger or future threat. And so prayer and thanksgiving come in to alleviate those feelings, because now you're giving it up to God, He who knows tomorrow. The verse that I think about is Isaiah chapter 46, I think verse 49, where he says something about seeing the end from the beginning. So prayer and thanksgiving is us giving it up to God, who is able to see the end from the beginning. He who holds tomorrow. It's in that song, many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. The closing line is, I know who holds tomorrow.
I know
who holds my hand.
Oh, yes.
So that's what prayer and thanksgiving do. It's really just giving it up to God, saying, you know, based on my perceptions, tomorrow is a terrible day, but I've not been to tomorrow. You have, so you hold my hand through tomorrow.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff, man. I love that. Now, is faith and courage about eradicating fear and anxiety, or is it about pushing through in spite of everything?
So some of these feelings are alarms. It's like, how do I put it? Sitting in an office or sitting in a coffee shop, you hear your car alarm go off. You're not going to be going like, oh, the alarm is going off. You are immediately alerted to something going on. So that's the same thing with these feelings and emotions that God has given us. It is that a lot of them are alarms, or some of them,
I see,
are alarms. And so it's not about eradicating them per se, but understanding them and knowing how to live life in spite of the feelings, because sometimes they are not proper. They don't show up properly and we don't experience them properly. So it's about understanding them and pushing through in spite of those emotions.
Is it possible that when you see the danger coming, I mean, because I suppose this anxiety is, as you said in your description, you see the danger, and of course you're anxious about it, but you want to push through nonetheless. Is it always practical? Because naturally you should retreat.
Yeah. So that's how come, I think yesterday, there was a question yesterday about how do you deal with it. So after assessing it, you know whether to retreat or to push through with knowledge and wisdom. And sometimes that knowledge and wisdom looks like having a conversation with a professional so that they can help you navigate to where you need to go. Because it's not everything that you must confront. In the 12-step program of the recovery program, if you've ever heard of AA, there's, I think, step 7 and 8, or if not 8 and 9, that has people confronting or having confrontations with people they've hurt or people who've hurt them. There's a clause in that particular step that says, except when to do so would harm others. So it's not everything that you're going to confront. So some anxiety you're going to confront, other you're not going to confront, and that's just life.
Yeah. Now, what was the source of Christ's anxiety before his crucifixion? I mean, but clearly there you could see that before he was quite anxious.
Yeah.
Now, was he afraid of death, or what is exactly that was causing it? How did he manage to actually keep it going until the completion of his mission? I think it's a double-edged question there.
Yeah. Well, you can see that it was a daunting task to die for all of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't just humanity living at his time. It was humanity that lived before, humanity that was going to live after. He was going to carry all of that. And it was a daunting task. And so you hear him when he's praying, he says, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And then in the very next line, it answers the question again, when he says, but not my will,
but thine,
but your will. Mm. Yes. And so that's how he made it until the completion. He really just submitted, trusting that God knew better, the Father knew better, and that it was going to be okay. He knew that it was going to be okay, but it still was a daunting task because he was in a human body now. Yeah.
I understand. So, is it an example that we should emulate?
Yes, actually. Mm. And that's why he's our example, right? For us to be able to approach an anxious situation and say, if it were possible, I want this to not be there, like let it pass.
Yeah, yeah.
But not my will, but your will, but oh God.
His will.
And power through with the strength of God. Through that situation. Yeah.
Now, what are some ways that we can support and encourage others to be courageous in their faith?
Number one is just holding space.
Okay.
Being able to listen to people.
Mm-hmm.
Because worry and anxiety, I know the Bible talks about them. And it says, do not worry.
Yeah.
But when it says do not worry, it doesn't exactly... identify worry as sin. It is an invitation to not worry, because it's a human thing to actually lean towards worry. You know, so it's an invitation. And so holding space for people who are saying, you know, I've got anxious thoughts, I don't know what tomorrow is going to be like. Someone has a surgery, for example, but I've heard people encourage a spiritual bypass. You know, like, don't feel what you're feeling, just trust God. But you can feel what you're feeling and trust God, because it's in trusting God that then your feelings are calmed. Because the feelings are...
Pastor? Ooh, Pastor? My goodness, Pastor. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'm back. Sorry,
yes,
about that.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, so I was saying that the feelings... Again, they are alarms, and God created us with them.
Yeah.
And they are meant to actually communicate to us. The same way our alarms communicate to us.
True.
When I'm hungry, I can actually sense that I'm hungry. In fact, there's a particular situation where people don't feel pain, and their lives are miserable because now they'll be burning, and they won't realize they're burning. So then you realize that pain is actually... for some good, because you can then tell when you're in danger. So these things are there for a purpose. It's for us to just find a way of living life through them or with them. So hold space for people so they can just be themselves, have resources handy for those that need to see a professional and talk to them. But if it's a skill you have, then, you know, be a listening ear to someone, and that way you can actually support and encourage them to be courageous in their faith. That's what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 is about, because it says, do not forsake the assembling together, as is the manner of some, but it says, but encouraging one another, much more so as you see the day approach. That's what it's about. It's really about encouraging each other to be courageous in our faith.
Pastor, I'm going to let you go. Before I do that, what would be your final remarks and conclusion on this subject?
So anxiety can paralyze you. But when you've learned, when you've gained the knowledge, you are then able to understand your emotions a little better. A good many of us don't have that education to understand what our different emotions mean or to even name them. But maybe the listener can take an interest to just go and look at the emotions wheel, begin to learn how to name their emotions so that they can begin to communicate themselves better.
Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for your time and for joining us. Always a pleasure talking to you. And this week has also been a pleasure. Wishing you a fantastic Sabbath ahead and happy Preparation Day once again.
You too. I am certainly going to enjoy myself this Sabbath.
Lovely. Thank you so much. Good to hear that.
Yeah.
Have a good one.
Good one too.
Bye-bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.